support additional new revenues because people do not think the wouldn't think the government was fair and at the existing time. And by ensuring fairness, then there'd be a lot more public support for additional revenue measures. And I also would recognize that plans such as the governor's that just adopted massive new taxes in a 3-year step wouldn't solve the problem at all if at the end of 3 years you hadn't restrained government growth and spending increases, because at the end of 3 years the gap has just grown bigger and you've probably used up all your easy taxes and now you're going to be looking at additional taxes that could seriously threaten the economy, and you haven't solved the problem. You've just made the problem worse. So I think if something like that was to happen, I think that's the kind of response that I would suggest to that action.
Further special orders. Senator Ellis.
Mr. President, permission to speak on the same subject?
Senator Ellis on the same subject. The same hypothetical.
I thought it was interesting, Mr. President, if I didn't know any better, those sounded like remarks from someone who was brand new to the position or to the majority. I just can't help but rise and point out that you all have been in charge of this budget. You all have controlled the purse strings of state government for a decade. Those remarks sound like someone who's new to the Senate Finance Committee or new to the legislature or new to the majority. But you all have been in charge and had the first ones, have had supermajority status at significant portions of that decade. And today we find ourselves in the worst fiscal condition in terms of our budget that we've ever had. So I can appreciate the long list of details of items, and to call them first steps. Why didn't we start 7 years ago when the governor and business groups and other folks who were paying attention to the state's fiscal situation, called on us to craft a safe landing and to do these steps together incrementally, to look at reductions in efficiencies, to look at the prudent use of our reserves, and to look at new revenues in a measured, intelligent, balanced way, so that we could truly make for a safe landing for government, basic, essential public services from the state government, and for avoiding a crash of the economy that could occur in a state that is too dependent on government expenditures, and that we would hope to see weaned off of that government largesse in the future with a healthy private sector. You all have been in charge. It's been many years. And to talk about first steps really befuddles me of why folks didn't step up to the plate sooner.
Senator Kelly, under special orders.
Same topic, Mr. President.
Same topic, Senator Kelly, the same hypothetical.
Hypothetical. Well, I do have to assume that the previous speaker was speaking hypothetically, even though he didn't say that, because all of the positive approaches and all of the positive responses that he characterizes as having come from this administration never did happen, so it must have been hypothetical.
Further special orders. Senator Ward on...
Thank you, Mr. President. I request permission in the body to speak on Molly Hooch.
Senator Ward on Molly Hooch under special orders.
Thank you. If I have this right, yesterday I had asked the question what the rural school would cost. And I have since found out that it would be a little under 200 students, and that the senator from Bethel had brought up. And it would be about $20 million, about $100,000 per student. We're currently spending about $20,000 per student there. I don't have the information on this particular school that was brought up today or from the senators from Nome. But I think this is a very legitimate discussion to have. And I never have really quite realized, you know, and I think I back in the heydays of the 13th legislature, we funded a lot of schools with hundreds of millions of dollars. And at that time, I questioned the logic of building high schools all around the state for smaller populations, because I thought that what would happen is we might deplete the entire amount of available monies to build and operate schools. And, Mr. President, it would appear to me that we're starting to get to that point now. And, you know, it's one of the reasons why I instead of, you know, holding up votes for skateboard parks in South Anchorage or for other things, I was wanting to have the CBR vote to go towards education. And I don't know that it isn't time that we as a body have a realistic discussion about education and what kind of schools are we going to have. If we're going to try to build schools in all 218 villages, then maybe we should have a statewide bond package that does that so the public can be a part of it and put it all on a list. I'm certainly not opposed to that. I think that maybe is what we should do, because I think it's time to look at what we've done with education. And judging from the scores that I'm seeing coming out of all of Alaska, you know, we are doing something that isn't quite right. And I don't know that just putting more money into it and building more schools where there is not the infrastructure to keep them going is necessarily the answer. And when we take past the point of this group gets something and that group gets something, I think that we are causing somewhat of a problem within the public education system in Alaska, because we are not making it accountable. And just building more schools and putting more money into it doesn't appear to be the answer. That hasn't worked for the last 20 years. So I certainly hesitate to start advocating centralized schools, volunteer boarding schools, or anything like that, because my mom went to one and I didn't like it at all because of what she told me about it in Inclutna after the flu that the senator from Nome talked about. My family, my mom was taken there too. But I think we need to figure out something. The schools in my district, you know, they need roofs, and they need school books, just like in your district, Mr. President. And I think we're kind of all this in together. And if we're going to proceed on to where we're going to build a $20 million high school, or a school rather, for less than 200 students, then let's make that decision jointly and openly and figure out just how to do it. Let's do it right. And I would tell the members here, you know, we just had a big discussion too about whether we're going to, you know, whether or not going to use permanent fund to fund government or income taxes or anything else. You know, we have a savings account, the CBR. And I would hope that my colleagues in this floor, this time, would consider using the power of that CPR vote to fund education and not a bunch of other things that clearly don't rise to that level. And that's what I would hope they do. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further special orders? Senator Lehman?
Mr. President, I request permission to speak on the topic of first steps.
Senator Lehman on the topic of first steps.
I'm inclined, Mr. President, to withdraw a little bit of that olive branch that I extended a little bit earlier today. But I would like to respond to the challenge that my friend, the minority leader, made. Indeed, we Republicans have been in the majority for the 10 years that I've been in the Senate, and you've been here during that time, and we have made some progress. Let me just suggest that with the governor we have now, we have kept spending increases of more than $1 billion from happening. We're considerably better off today than we would have been had we accepted those budgets. In addition, during that time, we reduced general fund spending over $250 million, and because of that, we're better off today financially. There are some other things that have stood in the way. Let me point out that the way that the Constitutional Budget Reserve is constituted and jockeying at the end of sessions increases spending, and that's something that ought to be fixed. It's something that I believe in 1990 we intended, and the voters intended when they passed it, to be different from what the court has allowed, and that has caused some problems. This administration has actively opposed some very constructive changes that we have offered, has vetoed some of these changes, and so I would say, Mr. President, the record has been good. While we have already taken some first steps, from now on, some of the steps that need to be taken, I would concur with my friend from Midtown Anchorage, there are several constructive steps that can be taken and should be taken that would indeed put us in an even better financial position.
Further special orders, Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Hoffman, I believe this is the second time under special orders.
Yeah, this is my second time.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is not on fairness in education.
Senator Hoffman, what do you?
I move and ask unanimous consent that I be allowed to speak on fairness in education.
Senator Hoffman on fairness and education.
Thank you, Mr. President. The speaker from South Anchorage talked about the cost of construction of education, but are you to say, because you're born in a community that is small and construction costs are high, that you don't deserve a good school? You know, I think that was part of the Reese decision. Everybody in Alaska should be able to go to a good school. If it doesn't matter if they come from a small school that's predominantly Native or a large school that's predominantly white. Everyone should be able to get a fair chance to go to school and not have to have wind blowing through it, not have to walk through sewers that are overflowing in the hallways, not have to smell that stench while they're trying to learn. Maybe those are some of the problems that result in some of those low scores, Mr. President. You know, not, you know, I would say that we have a process, the legislature has a process of submitting their priorities to the Department of Education, and they're ranked. You know, and I know Representative Swackhammer had worked on this, and we adopted it many years ago, that changed some of those things. And the problem is that the senator from South Anchorage may have submitted some projects, but they don't rise to the level of need that Akichuk, Tuliksak, Akiak have. But Mr. President, I see that one of your schools has made the list, and it's down here as the 54th school to be constructed. And I would say the sooner we take care of the top of the list, the sooner we get to that school.
I agree. Further special orders. Senator Donnelly, is this the second time also?
I'm Senator sorry, Donnelly. Mr. President. Yeah, on first steps. I think in dealing with my hypothetical, I did probably misstate and appreciate the minority leader correcting me. These are not first steps. These would be additional steps that I suggested, because some of the first steps would be similar to the things that we've already accomplished over the last 5 to 10 years. Education funding reform, welfare reform, merging state departments, reforming power cost equalization, underground storage tank reform, initiating results-based budgeting, and increasing non-oil revenue. And it's interesting, Department of Revenue points out that in 1995, they had forecast the constitutional budget reserve to be exhausted by the year 2000, but instead, there was actually more money in the constitutional budget reserve in the year 2000 than there was in 1995. And they point out that the second largest reason for that increase to the constitutional budget reserve, while the minority points out the legislature was under Republican leadership, was the elimination of projected budget growth and actual budget cuts.
Further special orders? Senator Elk, we haven't heard from you.
Same subject, Mr. President.
On the same subject, Senator Elk.
Using the admonition that everything to be said has already been said, but not everybody has said it yet, I just want to respond to a couple of things. First of all, you can't have it both ways. You can't say that the Democrats and the governor are driving spending up and then say that the CBR is larger than it was 6-7 years ago. The other thing is, I mean, we're talking about first steps, second steps, third steps, but we're talking baby steps. I mean, the fact of the matter is we've got a $1 billion gap. I mean, everything that we have done up to this point, and we've got a $1 billion gap. The only other thing I want to say is that I think that what we need to talk about is not just steps on savings. I mean, maybe we ought to start talking about steps on revenues. Maybe we ought to start talking about not just cutting, maybe we should start talking about investing. Investing in our people, investing in research and development, investing in our infrastructure, investing in our markets. That's what business does. I mean, we've been focused for 10 years on cutting. And it hasn't gotten us to where we need to go.
Senator Taylor, under special orders.
I'd like to talk about a three-quarter vote.
Senator Taylor, about a three-quarter vote.
It's been mentioned on the floor that the access to the constitutional budget reserve was changed from what we in the legislature intended, because when that passed, I was a minority leader over on the House side. Mr. President, you were over here, and we both worked very hard on that to get that accomplished, and the people supported us, and they said,
by about 76%. They said, you bet, let's amend our Constitution and create a constitutional budget reserve so we'll have a little money set to one side for these peaks and valleys that occur in this oil-dependent province of ours here. It's hard to call it a state. They don't really let us act like a state since two-thirds of us are owned by the federal government, and the rest seems to be regulated by some kind of federal government. But I'm fascinated by all of this rhetoric that I've heard on the floor about needs for this and needs for that and how we've reduced and how you guys haven't and so on. Very interesting. Interesting because throughout that period of time, when we have been in the majority and been trying to reduce this budget, every single year we fight the same problem. It's called three-quarter vote. Got to have a three-quarter vote to get out of here. Why do you have to have a three-quarter vote? Because you can't get access to the Constitutional Budget Reserve funds without it. So what happens? It's called leverage. We run into leverage every single year. What happens on our budgeting process around here? We've talked about how we reduced it by $250 million. Hey, we reduced it just this year, $84 million. That's just the amendments added by our Democrat colleagues on this floor just this year, starting in January 30th, when we saw $24.5 million attempted to be added for tourism and several other things. And then when we passed an operating budget, we haven't, by the way, seen the amendments that are yet to come on the capital budget, and I guarantee you they're going to make these look like small potatoes. We ended up with another $39,860,000. So we've already saved that amount of money this year, which would have been spent. Wouldn't have been available for building schools someplace. It was going to be spent on a whole series of other items. And when I hear these terms, we've got a $1 billion gap, I have to kind of wonder, where'd that gap come from? How come we got some of that gap? I can tell you where $130 million of that gap came from last year. Came from leverage. Came from three-quarter vote. Came from the fact we couldn't get off this floor and get budgets passed without making certain that certain projects got funded. How much is that leverage going to cost the people of Alaska this year to close out this legislature? How many projects are going to have to be funded? How many additional items have to be added on to this budget so that access to that constitutional budget reserve will occur? I already know what the total's up to so far. During this period of time, I'm told by my colleague from Juneau, yep, we got a $1 billion gap. Wrong. Your governor's got a $1 billion gap. Those of us working on the budgets over here, we got about a $700 million gap. When he came in this fall, it was $1.2 billion gap. It was $800 in the gap and $400 of brand new spending. New spending got rejected. Those of us sitting on this floor are talking about, and the public really ought to know what we're talking about $700 to $800 million gap. Not $1 billion. And I find it somewhat disconcerting when I hear the term, we've been responsible for those increases that have occurred. That we've don't include this kid. Because I wasn't in there getting leverage on those projects that added that $130 million plus last year. I wasn't the one holding this place hostage until we got paid. So if we're going to really talk about this constitutional budget reserve and we're really going to talk about where this spending has come from and where it's going and who's going to slow it down or who's going to speed it up, let's don't get too pious around here, folks. We all have to participate in a process called getting a three-quarter vote. And when we achieve the three-quarter vote, we'll all be able to walk out of here. But until we get every one of that three-quarter vote, it isn't going to happen, is it? And I just am real curious as to what the total price is going to be this year to accomplish closing this session, balancing this budget, and getting that three-quarter vote.
Further special orders. Senator Lehman.
I move that the Senate adjourn until 11 a.m. tomorrow, May 9th.
Without objection, we're adjourned at 11 a.m. tomorrow.